Good morning. I had one job, to look after a couple of grandkids because Melanie was sick today and I failed. Before church even started, they were lost. I hope you're well. Just take a moment. If you have to register your children, take the time. We live in a very different sort of world where we literally have got to keep records indefinitely of everyone that was in this service as far as kids and leaders, indefinitely. You think about that. And the only way we can do that is through the new digital system. We've been using it for years in the past and then left it, but friends of ours in Victoria, they have a court case right now from 25 years ago, an accusation that's come. The leaders of the church, Mark and Jen, who you know, she wasn't even saved when this incident supposedly happened 25 years ago, but they are in church, they're in court now because of it, and chatting with them and writing, unless God answers prayer and miracles happen, their answer is they'll shut the church. So that's the world we live in. And it can be true accusation, could be it was some former something, doesn't matter. So we ask you to bear with us as we take the time to actually register who's here and who's with them. And that's just the world we live in. All right. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you this morning that you are the light of the world. And as we speak about that and look at the Gospel of John, may you just reveal yourself as only you can, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. If you have been here for the last while, you know we're doing a series on John, going through the I Am. Last couple weeks ago, Eric spoke on I Am the Bread of Life. And if you remember how fast Jesus went from eating bread, this amazing, beautiful, sweet provision of abundance of bread, to eating my flesh and freaking everybody out and the crowd leaving. Well, all the signs that John goes through in his gospel, all of them bring people to this point where they got to decide, is Jesus who he says he is? They're looking for bread, and he's saying, I am the bread of life. And the whole truth around the death and burial and broken body and eating and drinking his flesh and blood and what that means to follow Christ, it hits you. And it's like, as Eric said well the last couple Sundays, we can't make Jesus into who we want him to be. He's the Christ. He is the I Am. And if you were here, if you didn't, you can go back and listen. Just an amazing foundation for this gospel. And so today, my text is John chapter 9, if you want to go there. He says it in chapter 8, but I'm going to go with it in chapter 9. We'll probably put the verses up. Can you read that? John 9, 4 to 5 is kind of my text. I'll read it. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen? Let's just read a couple of the verses. Put the next one up. From the beginning, I'll read it in a minute, but from the beginning of the Bible to the very end, this whole theme around light, what it means, what light does, and we see it introduced in Genesis 1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, okay, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. But you got to realize, that light he created that he's speaking of, let there be light, as God spoke it, that was before verses 14 and later, when they actually created the sun and the moon to rule the night and to rule the day. God introduces light. And then the last book of the Bible, Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, he says, at night will be no more. There will be no need for the light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Put up one more verse. I'm going to get them all out of the way here. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You can just leave that verse there for a while, just to let it stew in your hearts and your minds. Father, I pray you bless the word. I pray for health in my body and throat, and I pray, God, for ears and eyes to hear and see what the Spirit of God is saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like I need prayer today. But if you remember the purpose of John's gospel, he says it, and we repeat it again, and we'll repeat it many times over this series, is John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. It says, many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written, this is his reason, these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. So the purpose of John is that we would believe and that our lives would be changed. Amen? If there's one prayer, and I have it at the very end of my sermon, and I'm going to pull it right to the front. How many times in your life have you wished, have you prayed? I can't count the times, whether it's been preaching, whether it's praying, whether it's sharing with someone, whether it's talking to my kid. I don't care how many times in my life. My cry, it's like frustrating. It's like, how do you make this truth real to someone? How do you make the gospel come alive? How do you speak to someone in a way that changes their life? But only God can do that. And there's so many times as a leader, as a preacher, as whoever, you just want to just take the truth. And, you know, I remember when I got saved in 1974 in April, I went to my friends at school, and I'm excited about what happened in my life. My brother who's here shared Jesus. I've shared this before, and I go back to my school, and I tell them, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And they all laugh. And I'm expecting them to think, oh, that's kind of cool. What do you mean? Because it was the Jesus movement going on a little earlier. I was in grade 9 when it kind of hit our part of the world, a little earlier, 72, 73 in there. And revival was happening, and some of the kids from our class in grade 9 who I never would have ever dreamed came back and said, I'm a Jesus freak. And I didn't have a clue what it was. But in grade 10, our biology teacher says something about evolution, and this young guy in our class, he says, I don't believe that. God created. And back in that day, the teacher kind of swallowed and backed up and said, yeah, there's different thinking around this. And today they would throw him out of class. Probably. I don't know what they'd do. And I remember listening to him and thinking, there's something true about that. And then my other friend, who was a knucklehead from up the road, he said to me, do you believe in God? And I'm like, I don't know, but I know there's a devil. I've seen him. I've seen him in my dad's eyes when he's alcohol, when he's drunker than a skunk. I've seen the devil. And I went home and I was thinking, this stirring in my heart. And all I can say is that it's the light of God, the life of God, coming into my life. And it was there at different times, and my mom praying and whatever. And then Brian shared, and it was like, do you want Jesus? And I'm like, yes. That is what I want. No coercing, no getting the music just right. I'm like, I want Jesus. And so many times, on the good side of ministry, I have seen the lights come on in people's eyes and in their heart, and they say, yes, I want Christ. I want to be saved. What do I do to be saved? And I love when I hear that testimony, and we heard that on Thursday in our life group. And I love when the lights come on, if I can say it like that. But there's so many times when I've seen people sit in church meetings and crusade meetings and Sunday schools and whatever, and it's like, whoosh, goes right past, like my friends in school. And what happens is, I don't know, I don't have a big theology on it, but it seems like, you know, Paul says, don't harden your heart. It's like people hearing the truth over and over, but it never penetrating, it's like they build up a immunity to it or something. They are inoculated or whatever the word is. You know, they've been built up. I heard about PJ's, is this public uncle who's the arsenic and old lace story? It's okay. I could. You know, he's got a few weird people in his family too. Yeah, okay, but it's his uncle, who his second wife fell down the stairs and had a terrible accident and died. But because of that, the doctors had to do some toxicology on the husband, because there was this case around what was the reason for it. Was there anything involved, alcohol? And then they come to him and say, "Hey, do you know that over the last while your wife has been poisoning you with arsenic?" And actually he was already physically hurt by it. But what the reason I'm bringing that up, such a happy story, is I'm trying to encourage you. He didn't die because she had been giving him too little at a time, and he had built up some immunity to it. So, like, okay, so now that's what I'm trying to refer to. I'm not trying to poison you. But I see people who just sit in church their whole life, and nothing gets to them. You know, there's a little bit of a motion sometimes, a little bit of good feelings, or I like the vibe, or I don't know what it is. So they come, but the truth never penetrates. The light of God never like shines through. And they like have those moments where they're just, God is real. I need God in my life. And that's my prayer. Like, you know, Eric's a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I was an evangelist for 20 years. All I want is those, take it in Jesus' name and go and live your life. I don't want to counsel you. I don't want to meet with you. I don't want to sit with you. I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit and go and change the whole world for Jesus. And if you have problems, go see Brad and Russell. Russell will hug you. I won't. No, of course I will for a second or two. Then I'm like, get serving God. Is that okay? You just pray. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And just like the bread, he goes from the story, and I haven't even read my story yet, but in chapter 9 of John, we should read the whole chapter. Is that okay? I want 3 good Bible readers to come here. Can you give me that microphone? Who's got godly voices? Wow, that'll thin out the crowd right there. Come on, Eric. Come on, Helmet. Come on, Kyle, my son. How many times will be in? We're going to read the whole chapter, so read what you like. Good luck. Get up here, Helmet. You can read it out of my Bible, so we all read the same Bible.
As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, nobody is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know.
Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud. and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you said was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes, and ask him of his age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he has to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him."
So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that the man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God had spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Ever since the world began, has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" They cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see me may see, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now you say, 'We see.' Your guilt remains."
Amen. Thank you. Give that to you. So, again, John is using this whole story. Last time it was around the feeding of thousands with bread. This time it's around the story of a blind man, a life that's changed by having his eyes open. And there's this whole play. John does it all the way through his gospel where he takes a sign, where he takes a situation, and then he preaches it and he brings Christ to life in it. And Jesus standing there, and you have this play on blind and sight and light and darkness and death and life. And he's telling them, who's the real blind one? There's the blind man who sees. There's the guys who see who are blind. And they don't, you know, they're walking around lost. They're walking around in the dark. They're walking around blind. but they see. And if you go through the gospel many times, and then in Matthew and other places, and he's quoting Isaiah, talking about he who has ears, you know, he who has eyes. Who doesn't have ears? Who doesn't have eyes? But they don't see and they don't hear. So from Genesis to Revelation, this whole, what I'm trying to say is this whole point about light is to bring Christ. He's there at creation. He's there in Revelation. He's there when light is spoken and creation takes place. He's found in the Word of God, the incarnate Word of God, you know, Christ inscripturated. And he's the light of God come to life in bodily form, walking around. I am the light of the world. And he declares it. And these Jewish folk, religious people, sinners, whoever, they have to come to this point where they say, is he the light or not? Because if I say he's the light, because of what the circumstance he's talking about here, then I have to confess that he is the Christ, that he is God. And that's what John's been alluding to and speaking about from chapter 1, when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without outside of him. You know John's gospel where he starts. And he tells them that this is the Christ. And so each one of these signs comes along to prove who Jesus is. And then the people are left with, what am I going to decide? And I love this play with the blind man and his parents and the religious people. And they start taunting them. They're afraid of them, but then they start to taunt. Oh, would you believe too? Do you want to believe? And we have Moses, you know, they go off on this whole rant about who they are and how special they are. And so all through this gospel, these signs will keep confronting people about their life and what they believe about Jesus Christ. And so when the light shines this morning, whether it's through a worship, whether it's just through prayer, whether it's just a word, whether it's your spirit being touched by God himself, what's your response going to be? Are you going to say, okay, God, show me my life. Show me the truth. Show me more of God. Or are you going to be of those who hide back and hold back and stay blind and stay deaf, even though they have ears to hear? So I got 3 points. You can put up the slide and a poem. First of all, don't get fooled by just 3 simple points, because each one, I'm going to enjoy myself this morning. You know, if you talk about, you know, eyes to see and ears to hear, there's no one as blind as him who will not see. There's no one as deaf as him who will not hear. And that's what I was kind of alluding to when I was starting. It's like, there's times when you just wish you could push it into people's lives. Push it, you know, God, open my understanding. Open our hearts. You know, neither the Word of God nor the Spirit of God, that thing where you're just like, oh, God, show us your Word. Show us the truth. Let us have a revelation of Jesus this morning that comes into this place. And I like Pete's testimony from Life Group. When the Spirit of God comes into a person's life, into a group of people, into a meeting like this, it changes. It goes from just being a nice group, a bunch of people, to, okay, God is here, and God is speaking. And that's our prayer, that's our desire, that we would eat that bread, that we would have the light of life shine in this place. And that means, that means it's going to change. Something's going to change in our hearts and in our lives. So number one, the world was plunged into darkness when Adam and Eve sinned. Amen? The Bible talks about darkness and death and disobedience, like opposite of light. God is light. He's the light of the world. He created it. Men shy away from it because their deeds are evil. So the term darkness, walking in darkness, blindness, all these pictures are pictures of spiritual life. And it's pictures of what it means to be away from God. Blindness, even though you have perfectly good eyes, lost in sin, lost, don't know where they're going, can't see, can't find their way. Like, there's just image after image in the Bible talking about us being in darkness, us being blind, us being lost, us being out there needing the light of God. And the second one is Jesus, from the beginning, is the light of the world. As I've said, if you go back in John, he says these words, and I'll read them because they're better than my words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, the light, is connected to creation. I've already said in the old and the new, he, the spoken word, he was there when God spoke and everything came into being. He's in the written word. Our Bible college guys used to call it Christ inscripturated. When you open up the word, you would kiss the sun. You know, I've told you these stories where every beginning of every Bible class, old Dr. Giles, he would kiss the sun. He would see Jesus in the Word of God. And everywhere you go through the Scripture, you're looking for him. What's Jesus saying? What's Jesus doing? What is God himself trying to speak to us about? And he's in the Word. And Jesus is the living Word. He's the Word come to life and walking among them. And John says, and we felt him and we held him and we saw him and we were with him. And we saw his glory. And this morning, the world is in a dark place. I don't think anybody has to try to convince you of that. The media's dark, the culture's dark, the life is dark, Canada is dark. But into that comes the light of Christ. And he's the one who shines the brightest. And as the day gets darker, you know all the stories, the light shines brighter. And so I could say a lot about light, but let me say this. Jesus is the light. And then number three, we are to be the light of the world, as Christ is the light. Amen? We are to reflect his life. We are to have that testimony to the world. So what does that mean? Number one, it means that we must come to the light. We must bring our lives to the light continually. It's like Brian was sharing yesterday with some of us. It's be filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. It's continually. It's like bring your life to the light. Let the light of God shine on us. Live in the light. 1 John 1 verses 5 to 8 talks about it. Then we must let our light shine. Jesus' life in us. I was trying to be real cool and get some real good illustrations about light, and I didn't find any, so I had to use bad ones. But I'm told, I usually like illustrations that I've been part of, but I'm told a lighthouse, the light in a lighthouse isn't that strong. They're strong, but they're, especially in the older ones. But what makes them shine for miles across the sea is the working of the mirrors and the reflections that they set up. And this light is magnified and amplified and sent out, and it's the reflecting off mirrors and back and forth. And the point of it was that the light of Christ is shining brighter than ever if we are those mirrors that are reflecting it around the world. We are the light that people will see. And as we live our lives in a way that is a testimony of Christ and a testimony of someone who's been exposed to the light and lives in the light and loves the light, we shine that out to the rest of the world. And sometimes we get it right, and sometimes it's, you know, well, you know, don't have to say. And sometimes we get that light, and it touches someone in a way that changes their life. What separates us from being in the darkness or in the light is Jesus himself. Amen? He is the light. And when we come to him and we are born again, that life is in us. And we become those lights that shine out, reflecting who Christ is. We reflect from the inside out. It's not us trying to do good things. Yeah, we have to do good things. Our life must reflect what we speak. Our actions have to catch up to our theology. We have to live it out. But there's a part of us where Jesus himself is shining out from us. And he is what people see, and he is what changes people's lives. Without Christ, we are blind, we are dead, we're outside of God, we're under the wrath of God, we're under judgment, all of those things. So, if Jesus is the light, it means he's the number one judge of the world. Amen? It says, I am the light of the world. That light exposes everything. And that means he is the judge. He is the one that's going to stand before and have our lives exposed, have our deeds exposed, have our every thought, every intent of the heart exposed. There's nothing hidden from the light. It means also he is our lighthouse. He's the one that shows us the way, showing us where the pitfalls are and where troubles are. So here, let me end this. We live in a dark world, and Jesus is the light of the world, and in him and in his life, and in that life is the light of men. I don't know about you. I would say none of us likes to be caught out. None of us likes to be exposed. There's something in us that fights that. I don't want to get caught out. I don't want to be exposed. You know, when we talk about repentance, we talk about worship, we talk about, you know, you get challenged by the Word of God, you get challenged by the truth, you get challenged by the Spirit of God. All of us, without God's help, pull back, push back. I don't want to be caught out. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want someone to know me truly. I don't want someone to know the ugliness. I don't want that. But that's what Jesus does. He exposes us continually. And we hear it time after time here from the front. It's like, I don't want to deal with my stuff. I don't want to deal with my weakness. I don't want to be exposed in front of a church, in front of my wife, in front of my kids. I don't want that. But you know what? God does that because he loves us. And he doesn't allow us to just carry on in our stuff and our nonsense. We like to say our weakness. It's our sin. It's our rebellion. It's our pride. It's our arrogance, our ugliness. And he keeps exposing it. And, you know, we were talking about that yesterday, and Brian was sharing about authority. But it's like, who wants to... You know, I think that's one of the reasons people say the church hurt me. Because you get exposed. You get naked. You get revealed. And it hurts, and it's ugly. And you see my weakness, and I see yours. And it's wow, what kind of a church is this? It's what it is. And what God is doing and stirring and working in the church is he wants to bring the light of his word, the light of his spirit, the light of God into our lives so that we can be children of God, so that we can live lives that are pleasing to him, so that our lives reveal more of him. Not living some kind of fake Christianity, some kind of, you know, what Eric prayed for the kids, that it's kind of a Christian culture or something. Nothing wrong with that, but it's Jesus who is the light. It's Jesus who we need. It's Jesus who comes to us and it shows us the ugliness and the sin in our heart so that he can heal it and he can redeem us and we can move on in our life. So we can walk in the light and live in the light. And we run away from the light. We run away from exposure. We run away from the thought even of somebody challenging your life. You know, let somebody challenge your life. Let the Word of God challenge your life. Let it speak to you. Let it shine to you. Let the truth of Jesus come and shine into your life and my life. Because if we don't, there's no change. If we don't, we're just a good group of people that are living our lives and trying to do our best. But when God comes along and he puts his finger on something, he puts his hand into our life and for a purpose, thank God for it. Don't run from it. Don't run from the light. Don't run away from God. Run to God. So do you know Jesus? Do you have the light of God in you? Is that light in you? Jesus is the light of the world, but do you have Jesus in you? Is there a light inside of you? Or is there darkness inside of you? Is there a darkness that's just clouding everything? And you know, when I use the terms, it's death, it's sin, it's rebellion, it's away from God. Or does Christ live in you and me and bring life? Do you have... I like this comment. You know, Lori does this thing with the university, a health food thing, exercise thing. She wears her Fitbit every day and drives me crazy having to answer all the questions. But part of it is a fitness thing that they do every Friday for an hour. And one of the guys teaching, his comments was, you know, we go to the gym and put up with that. It's not always pleasant. But we do that. We go to the gym so that we can enjoy the rest of our life more. Amen? He said it better than I'm saying it, but I should look on my phone and get it right. But it's, okay, I will. Thanks. What you do inside the gym is to prepare you for life outside the gym. What you do in the gym prepares you to enjoy your life outside the gym more. What I would take from that is what we do in church, we come here, we get exposed to God's word, we get exposed to the truth, we get challenged about our walk with God, we get challenged in our lives so that we can go out there and live and enjoy our life more. And we come in here and it's not torture, a little bit, maybe. But you come here and you say, okay, God, what are you speaking to me about? What do you want in my life? So that you can go out there and live a better life and live life to the full and have life. But we need these times in the Word of God. We need these times in fellowship. We need these times when we come together and somebody prays for us and somebody speaks to us and someone gets real and someone opens up their heart and one is mourning and one is praising and we mourn with those who mourn and we celebrate with those who celebrate because it prepares us for our life out there and gives us more strength and more power to live our life. Another comment is, do you have faith that you're not prepared to act on, or does your confession outrun your life? Is there part of your faith that you're not prepared to act on? You know some truth. You know what's right. You know the Word of God, but you're like, I'm not going to act on that. I'm not going to go from here and go and live that out. I'm challenging you that the light of God is going to be shining on you out there more than ever this week. God is going to reveal to you more of your sin, more of your brokenness, more of your need, for a purpose that you cry out to him that I say, oh God, change my life. Help me to love my family, love my wife, love my kids, love myself like you do. And that's what God does, and he will keep on doing it. You know, how about you say, I'm a child of God, but you live like a beggar and an orphan. There's no reality to that confession. You say, well, Jesus forgave me, but I'll never forgive. You know, how can you love your wife? How can you love an enemy? You can't even love your wife. You know, if you can't love your wife, the Bible says, well, love your enemy then. Love them. We have no excuse. I'm a Christian, but I do not deal with my stuff. So what am I trying to say this morning? Is Jesus is the light. John reveals him from the beginning to the end. He's come into this world, and in him is the life of men. And that life is the light of men. That life that's in Jesus is our only hope. That's the only thing that's going to give us life. And I'm asking you to come to the light. Let him show you. more about your life than ever. Let him judge you in the light, knowing that it's for good. And when he does that, make the changes. Make the repentance that needs to happen. Make the confessions that need to happen. Say, okay, God, I see that area of my life. Show it to me more. Shine the light of God on that little corner of my heart. Shine the light of God on that area of my spirit, of my mind, that quicken me, open my eyes, so I can see, so I can walk in the light and live in the light. Live in what God intended for me to live in. One of the saddest things you can do is I've used the example before, but I'll use it again. But you have this picture of a beautiful hamburger, what's supposed to be, but then you have the reality of this little not so beautiful. And I want my life to reflect more of the real, reflect more of the true gospel, the true life of Christ that is in me. And when it happens, it's amazing. It's amazing when you get things right. And you know, you just, if I take it to husband and wife, and you're just walking in a sweet place, and you know she loves me and I love her, and she knows me and I know her, and God's working in our life, and somehow you're walking in the light of it. And it's the same with the church. And I touched on it, you know, one of the reasons I think people get hurt by church, and I'll just probably end here, is we get exposed. Our lives get revealed. Who we are, what we are. Probably more intimately than in a lot of other circumstances, other than family, maybe. Or where you open up your life and you want God and you're seeking Him, and then there's some palugas getting right in your face and getting in your space, and you're getting in theirs, and it's like, I didn't come here for this. Who cares what you think? You know, but we're stuck together. And the light shines more and reveals more. But when we walk in that light together, as He is in the light, man, His blessing flows on us. His fellowship, the goodness of God is more and more and more. Amen? So I'd like to pray this morning. First of all, what I'd like to pray is for all the kids that are hollering in the back there. Your kids, my grandkids. And, you know, we were praying this week, we were praying yesterday, that the teachers would have opportunities, there would be a good opportunity. But can I say something? And don't get offended. Well, if you have to get offended, I don't care. I do care. Those little guys back there are going to be coming into your home this week. Our homes. I'd rather put a millstone around your neck than to offend one of those. Is that okay? We pray for them. You pray for them. When they come into our homes, may they find life. May our homes be filled with light, the light of God. Amen? Because no matter what a teacher says there, no matter what we pray for, they have to live with you. And I'm trying to say this with passion in my soul, guys. Do not offend them. Get over your stuff. Ask God to heal your marriage. And if you're a single parent, ask God to make you double, that you can father and mother and cover for these kids. Get over your stuff. Because when these kids come back now out of that classroom and praying, and we're praying that God's speaking to them, they're going to go home and live with you and me. And I'm saying, God, shed your light on us. Show us our sin. Show us our weakness. Show us the areas that need God in us more and more and more. Give us a heart of repentance. Give us a heart of hearing you and crying out to you. I heard that prayer in the prayer meeting this morning as people were praying. Mothers were praying for their kids. You guys, us guys, let God come and reveal the truth to us. Is that okay? Stop nonsense. I remember R.T. saying this, and I feel to say it again, and I'll say it probably 100 more times, but you don't want to be 5 years from now saying, man, I wished I would have listened to that man of God back in ELCI in 2023 when he said, stop your nonsense. I wished I would have listened. I remember saying that about 7, 8 years ago. There was a young guy in the church named Matt, full of tattoos. Some of you remember him. And he came to me after the meeting, he's crying, and he's saying, I don't want to come back in 5 years and cry out, why didn't I listen? Because I was speaking about sexual purity and keeping yourself. He said, I don't want to come back in 5 years and say, I wished I would have listened to you. And you know what he did? The next week, he went out and moved in with his girlfriend. Too long of a story. Messed up life. I don't know where he's at. Maybe God's healed him again. I don't know. But I'm saying that to say to you parents, you who have kids, grandkids, who would, maybe the parents aren't here. You as a grandmother, grandfather, you have an inheritance. You have something to carry. Do not mess it up. Let's walk in the light. Let's get real with God. Let's be honest before God and say, God, show me your word. Show me the truth. Let me live in it. Let me walk in it. Deal with my ugly stuff, the garbage in my life. Let me deal with it so they don't have to. You've heard all the sermons. You want to be your kids to be free? You get free. No use preaching to them and you're full of nonsense. God can minister to our kids. Thank God he overlooks and he overcomes all the rubbish in our life. But we do not want to be those stumbling blocks. We do not want to be those ones who cause someone to fall into a pit because we are so blind, because we are walking in the darkness. So that's my prayer that this week, as these kids come out of these classes, grandkids, children, the children of this church, God help us to be living something of the light of God in our lives. Amen? Jesus is the light of the world. And if you do not have Jesus in your heart and in your life, you're in darkness. That's the dividing line. You're either in light or you're in darkness, life or death. Free or under condemnation. Jesus is the determining line for that. That's why we say we need him, not a good nice time. We need Jesus to come into our life and to be our Lord and be our Savior. That's what, you know, could talk lots about what light does and reveals and revelation and truth and life. And that's what Jesus brings to us today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that you healed blind eyes, physical blind eyes. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in people blind and can see. But Lord, I pray for that to translate this morning into people who are spiritually blind. God, I pray this morning that you would open eyes. Spiritual eyes. If there's one in this house this morning who hears the Spirit of God cry out, open my eyes, Jesus, I pray that you will minister to that one today. I pray our eyes of their spirit would be open. The light of God would shine into hearts this morning. Into areas of hearts that have been closed and been shut out, I pray your light would shine this morning. Forgiveness would come, grace would come, healing would come because of the light of God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.